All right. Title of today's sermon is Your Redemption Draws Near. Something we need to be thinking about. Well, here we are at the end of another year, and what a fast year this one has been. What a year for world news. You know, it's been in many cases, you know, we can see prophecy played out right on our TV screens on the nightly news, you know, with all the announcements of things, the things that are going on. Jesus told us, for those who are called, who know, that in the last days, if we are watching, we would see the signs of His return. And for those who are not watching and praying, He would come as a thief in the night. You know, and we are called to know God's truth, and we are called to be alert. And again, this has been a very serious year of happenings, very serious. And we all just really have to come to that conclusion in our mind that, you know, our lives are finite. We must face what is coming down the pike here, so to speak. And we can think about it, and we can pray about it, and we can be ready about it. Or we can just think, well, it'll all just blow by. But we know that from the news that we are seeing and hearing that things are building. Things are building toward the return of Christ. I remember a long time ago watching the classic movie, Gone with the Wind. I'm sure probably most of you have seen that as well, too. But as you recall, Scarlett O'Hara, star in that film, when she did not want to deal with a problem, she had a little saying there that she would say, "Oh, fiddly dee, I will think about that tomorrow." She would put things out of her mind that she did not want to address at that time. But we know all the tomorrows came and went. And she just put the problems, you know, behind her. Didn't dwell on the ones that she probably should have, but she just put them out of her mind. And that's what's happening with so many people today, in the world today that know God's truth. We can just let it blow by and think, well, everything's going to be okay. Yeah, everything will be okay in the end. But God has a plan for us to be watching. He wants us to be alert. You know, we are not living in a movie. We are living as history and prophecy is unfolding right before our eyes. And we are told that we are to watch and pray and be ready for the return of Christ. God has a plan for us. We have a job to do not only now in this physical life, but a much greater one when Christ returns and we are changed to a spirit being to be working with Him. What a marvelous thing that He has planned for us. Our minds really just can't comprehend it, but we need to be ready. Our Heavenly Father is in complete control, as we know, of everything. Nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. And He will pick the time that He chooses for Christ's return. Well, let's take a look at some of the current happenings. A couple of weeks ago, our president, Mr. Donald Trump, made an announcement that Jerusalem should be and will be the capital of Israel, and will be moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and the United States will build an embassy there. Very bold statement, and I really don't think that he knows the part that he is playing in this prophecy. I just don't think he understands what part that God is using him in, bringing this about. As you have heard in the newscast, you know, that the Palestinians and the Muslims are on edge and ready to fight. They are really upset from the statement that Mr. Trump has made there. But God is using him to bring about the things that have to come about before the return of Christ. And Iran, this is in the news as well, too, and brought out to the public. Iran does not recognize Israel at all and supports the anti-Israeli militant groups such as the Palestinian Hamas, which rules the Gaza Strip right now today, and the Lebanese Hezbollah. These are our militant groups, and they all hate Israel, and they are surrounding Israel right now. Iran's foreign minister was glad to hear that the United Nations General Assembly is rejecting Mr. Trump's administration recognition of Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel. And they may use this as a green light to do something about it. Well, we'll see. I know the United Nations, that the United States, you know, sends in more money than any other nation on earth. And they voted against the United States on this. And I know, what's her name, Haley?
Nikki
Haley, United Nations representative there. She said that she's going to keep track of the money that has gone to the ones that voted against the United States. Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of turmoil going on, a lot of things that are happening right now. Things are building. Let's take a look at what God says here in Zechariah chapter 12. Let's start there, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Well, this shows us the power of God, who he is. He is in charge. Verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. Well, you know, the cup represents God's wrath. And he is going to use Jerusalem in his wrath there. And the word siege means, it's a military term that means to surround a city and block all the gates and cut off all the food and the water so no one can leave. That is exactly what is happening right now around Israel and around Jerusalem there. We know that the Muslims are in charge of the Temple Mount right now, and they are in a real fury of what is about to take place there. Verse 3, and it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. You know, those that are wanting to take Israel out and move them, God said that they are a very heavy stone for all peoples who would heave it away. It will surely cut to pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Yes, all the nations don't have good things to say about Israel. The United States is the only one that is standing by Israel's side right now. All of the others have surrounded and have a lot of hatred toward Israel. In verse 4, in that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. Well, that is probably in terms today that would be a tank or a tank driver or an armored car, some kind of a military a vehicle probably that he will cause confusion in that machinery and the rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and I will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Verse 5. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. Judah will realize that, yes, our strength is only in God. And we must rely on God and depend on God and put our faith in God. Verse 6, in that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fry pan in a woodpile, and like a fiery torch in the sheaves, they shall devour all surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left hand, but Jerusalem shall be inhabited against her own place there in Jerusalem. The leaders, the governors are the leaders. They will become like a fry pan that is ready to fight back, ready to burn whatever gets in the way. And the sheaves, of course, represent a field, you know, that is ripe, has probably been cut and dried and ready to burn. And the fry pan, back in those days, is what they would do. They would take this metal pan and they would fill it with coals, and they could transfer fire from one place to another. And that is the representative of the leaders that will be ready to do that. Verse 7, the Lord will save the tents of Judah first. So the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. Verse 8, in that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the one who is feeble among them, and that day shall be like David. Talk about somebody being feeble. These are probably the older people that are tired, that are wore out, but they're going to be empowered by God among them. They shall be like David. And the house of David shall be like God. God has all power. God will imbue the power in them, like the angel of the Lord before them. Verse 9. It shall be that day, in that day, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Well, there's a lot of people, a lot of countries, a lot of nations around Israel right now that hate Israel all around the world. And there is going to be trouble, of course, but God is going to be in charge to fight the battle there. So we certainly appreciate that, of course. And another hot spot that we can talk about in the news is we have North Korea. They are testing biological warheads for their missiles. On December the 20th of this year, it was reported that North Korea is carrying out tests to arm their long-range missiles with deadly anthrax spores and other biological weapons. They now have the ability to hit any city in the United States. So we have these threats coming. Things are progressing. Prophecy is being played out right in front of our eyes. We are living in prophetic times, and God has taken the scales off of our eyes to see. If we're watching the news as we should, we don't have to be obsessed with it because we know that God is in charge, but we do need to be watching and praying. And God has given us the ability to understand what is happening through the power of His Holy Spirit. The rest of the world doesn't have that. The rest of the world is going to be very much like Scarlett O'Hare. Oh, fiddly dee, I'll worry about that tomorrow. I know it's on the news, but now it's time to have fun. If we are paying attention and taking the time to do our Bible study, which is something I admonish all of us to do more of, we will not be caught unaware of what is coming in the future. We will be able to read our Bibles. We will be able to read the prophecies as they are lined up. We will be able to see what's coming. God is letting us know. And He expects us to be aware. He expects us to be prepared. A very plain place to take a look at prophecies that we can take a look at real quick. We won't read all these, of course, but we know that in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, they talk about the Olivet Prophecy. Jesus Christ speaking there, where Jesus warns us to be very vigilant about our own spiritual condition. That's what he's talking about there. Be ready. Be watching. Be watching the conditions for his return. And he describes the conditions and the events that will lead up to his second coming. He tells us what we should be doing and what we should not be doing, you know, as the time draws closer. Of course, as was talked about there in the sermonette, that we are made from the dust of the ground. where we only live a certain number of years and days and months, like I was talking about with Mrs. Allen there. Hers was right down to the minute, just like ours will be as well, too. But for us, this is our time. This is our time to be vigilant. This is our time. The disciples back in their physical days, that was their time to be ready and to have their trust and faith in God, knowing that the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to happen. At the time when Jesus was speaking, at that time, his disciples were asking him for the exact time of his coming. And Jesus said in Mark 13:32, he says, "But of the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son," speaking of himself, "but the Father alone." God the Father is the one that has his foot on the brake and also on the gas pedal. He can speed things up and he can slow things down as he chooses. So no one really knows except God the Father until the very time that he turns to Christ and say, "It's time to go back." Then that's when Christ will return. Just because we do not know the exact time, it does not mean that we should be like Scarlett O'Hare in Gone with the Wind. "Oh, fiddly dee, I'll just think about that tomorrow." That is called being sleeping, in the tense there. We are to keep a watchful eye on the world trends, conditions, and more important than even the trends and the conditions is our own spiritual condition. That is the most important thing that Christ wants us to do, is to be ready, having our spiritual condition in order, our spiritual house in order, so that we can be ready to be used for the purpose that we are called to do. Our calling is just not to save our skin. That's the least of it. We are called for a job today and for later when we're changed to a spirit being. And also there in verse 33 of Mark 13, Jesus said, he said, "Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is." Only God the Father knows that appointed time. And in verse 35, Jesus gives his disciples a second warning. And he said, "Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming." And in verse 37, Jesus warns his servants, "Do not fall asleep on the job, but be alert." We don't want to fall asleep on the job. Makes no difference if we just now came into understanding or if we are 103 years old like Mrs. Allen was. By the way, Mrs. Allen had a clear mind all the way to the end. She couldn't hardly move her body, but she had a clear mind. And you could ask her questions and she was there to know it. And she could repeat back to you her feelings. That's what we want to do. We want to have a clear mind all the way through. And I think God would give us favor if we are doing what he wants us to do right now. Now let's take a look at Luke's account, where he emphasizes our personal conduct with Christ's warning that we are to be diligent. To be diligent means to be steady, to be earnest, to be very energetic in our efforts in keeping our spiritual house in order. And he shows us exactly the kind of distractions that we are to avoid. We need to protect our eyes, our ears, our mouth, and be ready to make right decisions every second of our life. We do make mistakes, like we said in the opening prayer. We do make mistakes, but we can come before God and say, "Yes, please forgive me. Help me to have a clear mind to where I can obey you and follow you and be ready for the return of Christ." Let's do this. Let's see. We will turn to Luke 21, Let's turn there. This is where Jesus is observing the rich putting in their gifts and their offerings into the treasury for God's work. And the poor widow was showing her faith. Let's do turn to Luke chapter 21. Don't have a real long sermon today, but this was just really struck me very important when I heard the news this past week. And we do send out the prophetic times. Hope you have a chance to be able to read those. Mr. Jim Tuck, he kind of gathers that together and sends it out, and we pass it on. We need to keep alert. Luke 21, we'll start in verse 1 through verse 4 there. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. Their gifts, of course, their offerings. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So Christ said, he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings, and some put in great amounts and everything into the offering for God, but she out of her poverty put in all of the livelihood that she had. What was she showing? She was showing her faith in God, her true faith in God. The wealthy were only they may have put in large amounts, but she put in actually more. She was putting her full faith and trust, her livelihood, into God to provide for her. And in verses 5 and 6, Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple. Let's read verses 5 and 6. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, and they were admiring how beautiful it was and how it was constructed and everything. And Jesus said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another, that shall not be thrown down, that it will be destroyed. And then in verse 7, Jesus tells us of the signs and the times at the end of the age. So they ask him, saying, teacher, I'm sure they were very serious at this point, teacher, but what will be these? What will these be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And Jesus said, take heed that you do not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. They will be out there preaching, saying, help me, help you. Send me your money. There will be a lot of them that will be false preachers here. Therefore, do not go after them. So then, this gives more emphasis why we need to be watching and praying and be up to date on our Bible study constantly, at knowing the will of God, because even the very elect can be deceived. And then in verse 9, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. And then in verse 10 through 13, we will read, it's about our testimony. And what is our testimony? Our testimony is going to be our faith, just like the widow giving all that she had. She showed what her faith was. Our testimony is going to be our faith in the power of God and depending on God. There will be many opportunities for us to show our faith, and we will find our greatest testimony times will be in the midst of persecution and suffering. There is some good news through this. Let's go on with this. Verse 10. And then Jesus said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be a great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. These are things that we need to know about so that we can see these signs. Verse 12, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues. You know, that's the various nations that they will deliver you up to, who won't have any love for you. And prisons, they will throw you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, for us giving testimony, saying that, yes, we trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. Just for that, for Jesus' name's sake, they will persecute us, and it's going to happen. We're not going to avoid it. We don't want to avoid it. Verse 13, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony to show your faith. And then as we read on in verse 14, by your patience, he says here, to possess your soul. Jesus gives us instructions, and he said that in the midst of persecution, remain patient. Stay in control by being patient. Don't panic. He's telling us he's going to see us through. He is going to see us through. Let's read in verse 14 through 19 there. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand. Don't worry about this ahead of time on your own. Verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Verse 16, you will be betrayed even by your parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You know, Pat and I, you've heard me say this before, out of both sides of our family, we're the only ones out of our families that are called. And our families have always looked at us as being weird and strange and betraying them. And I'm sure there are some of them that, you know, if it came down to pressure, they'd say, oh yeah, it's not me. It's my sister or my brother. Go get them. Jesus says here that we will be betrayed by our parents, our brothers, our relatives, our friends, and they will put some of you to death. Just by their words, they will come and get you. Verse 17, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Well, God has to know if he can trust us enough to be changed to a spirit being and be in the family of God and live forever. Throughout this life, we learn, we make choices, we are tested and tried throughout all these days of our life, which are very short, actually. Verse 18, the good news, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. Verse 19, by your patience, possess your souls. Why should we learn patience? Because it gives us the trust in who is going to be taking care of us. Putting the words in our mouth, protecting us, seeing us through. Jesus is telling us that right there. He will see us through. You know, we humans, we have tempers. We have problems in controlling ourselves. And we often want to fly off the handle, so to speak, when times get tough. You know, it's easy to have somebody to fire you up with the things that they say, maybe. And we want to respond, and we want to take action, and we get all tense, and we make everyone around us tense. Ask my wife. She has seen me in action before, and I have to curb my excitement. But we need to have ourselves checked in self-control here and learn self-control. And that is part of having faith in God and Jesus Christ to take care of us and what we should be doing. That's how we possess our souls. We must learn to let God, who is in charge, let Him fight our battles for us. We can do nothing on our own. We already know that. To possess your soul is the idea that you should keep your soul under control. Self-control takes patience, loads of patience. When things don't seem to be going very well, in other words, is what we need to do is to hang in there and keep our faith on who it should be on Jesus Christ, who died and paid the price for us. We are created by God. We are owned by God. When we were baptized, we come up out of that water as a new man or a new woman. We don't belong to ourselves. Had hands laid on us and received God's Holy Spirit, and we are to be putting our thoughts and mind in control of having our mind on Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And then in verse 20 through 24, let's read that there in Luke 21. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. They are surrounded today by armies. They are surrounded by people who hate the people in Jerusalem there. They hate Israel. They hate Judah. Verse 21. Then let those who are in Jerusalem flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. Verse 22, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Days of vengeance there on the house of Judah. As we know, the Jews have rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They're going to have to be brought to their knees. These things must happen. They must cry out for God to forgive them and to accept Jesus as the Messiah, because that's who He is. And then in verse 25 through 28, let's read verse 23 and 24 as well too. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. Verse 24, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There's a lot of bad feelings that is going to have to be played out here. And then in verse 25 through 28, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, in the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear in the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Well, this will happen right after the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is what we're talking about there. But right after that, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is coming in a cloud with great power. Now, when these things begin to happen, it says, look up. Look up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We are called, and we can know to read the signs if we take the time to do it. If we don't get caught up in this world and all the things that's in this world, that's so very easy to do. One of the main things that God the Father and Jesus Christ hate are idols, people who worship idols. You can make an idol out of your job. You can make an idol out of anything, all the cares of this world. Now, we have to live in this world, and there are things that we have to do, but let's not count on these things to save us from anything. We must have our mind focused on Jesus Christ, our Savior, to see us through all of the problems of this life that we are going through. The human life is a stressful time, a very stressful time from the time you're born. And we are to be watching the nightly news and watching the prophecies unfold right before us. We need to keep up with those. Matthew 25, verse 13 tells us, "To watch therefore, for you know neither the day or hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, let's start reading in verse 1 there. Paul is writing, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." No, we understand that. "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." He gives a warning. He gives another warning there. "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." Well, you know, I suspect probably a lot of the leaders and the presidents of nations will be saying, "Oh yeah, we have our military might, which we have faith in, that we can drop any other country if we want to." And when we hear of peace and safety, look out. Don't put your trust in any nation's peace and safety or military armaments or missiles or whatever that they think is going to protect them. Verse 4, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness." No, we have been enlightened. We have had the scales taken off our eyes so that this day should overtake you as a thief. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. God has opened our eyes. He is teaching us. We need to take advantage of it. "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not in the night nor in darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep." Don't be lazy as others do. "But let us watch and be sober." Be serious. "For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk, they get drunk at night." Well, talking about those who have the cares of the world and the fun things. You know, we were talking about all the bowl games that are going on right now. The football and the hockey and this and that. Satan has the entire world wrapped up in sports. That is an idol. You can turn that into an idol if you pay more attention to that than you are of what we should be here, of watching and praying. "But let us who are of the day be sober," be serious, "putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath." No, we are to be like the character of God with love in our hearts for one another, to learn His character and to be on that path. "But to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or whether we are dead, we should live together with Him." He has it planned that we will live together with Him if we are obedient, doing His will. "Therefore, comfort each other and edify, build up one another, just as you also are doing." Well, the lesson for all of us, like I said, I don't have a long sermon here, so the lesson for all of us, it's our choice. If we're going to be watching, if we're going to be praying, if we're going to be doing our Bible study, if we're going to be ready to have our personal spiritual health in order, we can have the attitude of Scarlet O'Hare, where she says, "I'll think about that tomorrow. I deserve a break today. I owe it to myself. So therefore, I just won't think about that. I'm going to take a little rest. I won't read two or three chapters of my Bible today. I'll just go ahead and take a little rest." Or we can take action and make sure our personal spiritual house is in order and take great comfort in God's promises. Yeah, there's some fearful things that's going to be coming on here. When he says, "I will take care of you." Now, you will be persecuted and talked bad about. Maybe some will even be put to death. But just like when when Jesus held off coming to see Lazarus and his sisters there. You know, to die is not the bad thing. Actually, the best place of safety is in the grave. Won't have to see any of this. And it's no big deal. The Creator who created us can bring us back to life anytime He wants to. And He will, if we're doing things right at the return of Jesus Christ. We need to take great comfort in the promises that God has made and the knowledge that He has made available to us at this end time. Take advantage of it. None of us take full advantage of it, including myself. When I speak and preach, I preach to myself. The good news is that if we are prepared, if we are preparing ourselves spiritually, this can be a time of great confidence and hope. What is confidence? Confidence is faith. Confidence is trust. Trust in God. We can have confidence, hope, and joy leading us to God's coming kingdom. That's what we're all here for today, is to learn more about God's coming kingdom, about God and the promises that He has made, and the history that He is showing us in the prophecies here that are happening, things that we are to be watching for and beware of. He's making it as simple as possible for us. And as Jesus assures us, as He assures us in Luke 21, verse 28 again, when He said, "Now when these things begin to happen," and it looks like they're happening today, don't they? Watch the news, listen to what's going on, all the troubles around the world, the threats that we're getting from North Korea, the threats that Iran, Russia, China right now is trying to bribe the United States companies that are doing manufacturing over in China right now today. They are bribing these people to stay in China and not move back to the United States, where Mr. Trump is wanting them to. Mr. Trump does not realize what part God is playing through him. You know, I tend to think that Mr. Trump is a rude person, but you know, God put him in office, and God is going to use his toughness for his advantage. God is using this man to stand up against this evil world. And Mr. Trump does not even know that. But the prophecies are playing out. We're coming down to the end of the game, so to speak. But when Jesus said, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. It could be very well for each and every one of us while we're still alive. Or if we die, we don't have to worry about it. We're going to be resurrected. But it's up to us to do the job that we are called to do right now. Good to see everybody. We don't get to come down to Murfreesboro very often, but it's always good to be here. See you later.